You are probably aware of at least some of the funny things that baseball great Yogi Berra is supposed to have said at various points in his life. He was a great baseball player, but speaking was not necessarily one of his gifts. Some of these things have been credited to him, and maybe he didn't actually say them, but regardless, they've been credited to Yogi. Things like, nobody goes there anymore because it's too crowded. Or how about, when you get to a fork in the road, take it. Or one of his most famous, it ain't over till it's over. And another, which is probably his most well-known one, it's deja vu all over again. And finally, I really didn't say all the things I said. I've known some presidents that have said things like that. It's like deja vu all over again. If you were with us on last December the 7th, this passage from Mark may sound familiar to you because we actually read the first part of it on December the 7th. We stopped before Jesus makes his appearance and is baptized by John at the Jordan. So if you find yourself thinking this is like deja vu all over again, that's because we read a good part of this passage just a few weeks ago. On December the 7th, the focus of the reading was on John's message about this one who is to come, this one who is more powerful than he is, the one for whom he's not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. And he tells those who come down to the river that he, that is John, baptizes with water, but this one who is coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we stopped back on December the 7th. Today we read a little further. This one that John is describing actually shows up. And that's why the focus of this almost identical passage changes for today. The focus becomes on this one who appears and on what happens when he is actually baptized. Remember that Mark has no birth stories whatsoever. Mark doesn't have time for birth stories. So there's no angel appearances to Mary and Joseph. There's no trip to Bethlehem. There's no inn without any vacancies. There's no child born in a stable, wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger. There's no angelic appearances to shepherds and no visits by the shepherds. There are no wise men following a star. There's no star at all. No gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. None of those things are in Mark's gospel. He launches immediately into the ministry of John the Baptist, and then the baptism of Jesus, and then the temptation of Jesus in the desert. He starts with a prophecy by Isaiah predicting the message and ministry of John the Baptizer, and then he goes into the appearance of John himself, and then into this passage that we read today. So Mark tells us the name of this one who comes, Jesus of Nazareth. We already know that this Jesus is, according to Mark, not an ordinary man, because if you read chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So Mark prepares us for this one who appears at the river. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Messiah, so long awaited by his people, and he is the Son of God. We're not really sure how long John has been baptizing folks in the Jordan. We know that people from all of Judea and Jerusalem have been going out for the ritual. He apparently has developed quite a reputation among the people of Judea. So all of these folks must have thought that John's baptism had some value, or they wouldn't make the trek out into the desert. Some of them could go out and back in a day, but for others it would be many days to make it to this point where John was baptizing. To be dunked in the river by this rather odd character who wore camel hides and ate bugs, as we discussed back on the 7th of December. In Mark's gospel, John has a very clear message for the pilgrims who come to the desert. He proclaims a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So this ritual washing in the river that John performs is a sign of cleansing from sin, a token that the confession that has been spoken has been heard, acknowledged and accepted by God. John's baptism is a baptism in water. Now, John predicts the coming of this Jesus, and he comes. So the question is always, why? Why does Jesus come to be baptized? Our profession about Jesus is that he was sinless. And indeed, it says that he was sinless at some point in Scripture. Why does Jesus, who is sinless, come to be baptized for sin when he has none? So theologians have wrestled with that question since the time of the very earliest church fathers. Why was he there? And as happens so many times in Mark's gospel and the others for that matter, we're not given an answer. Mark doesn't seem to be concerned about that question. One possible explanation, and one that appeals to me, is that Jesus allowed himself to be baptized not because he needed it, but in order to express his full solidarity with you and with me, with the sinful humans of that day and with us today. When Jesus submitted to John's baptism, he was saying essentially, I have come to take on the sins of all humanity and each one of us. I have come to put on my own shoulders the sin that is not mine. I take it up freely and of my own choice. This is my mission and my purpose. John had probably, by the time that Jesus came out to him, baptized many hundreds or even thousands of Judeans. And the formula was pretty much the same every time. Someone would come and confess her sins and be baptized again and again, thousands of times. But this particular baptism didn't follow the pattern. When Jesus comes, something most amazing happens. The heavens are torn apart, Mark says, and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And a voice is heard from heaven speaking directly to this Jesus. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Now that didn't happen every time someone got baptized. In just a few moments, the common baptism becomes uncommon. In verses 10 and 11 of this passage, there are actually buried multiple references to the Old Testament. I wanted to point just a few of those out to you. In Isaiah chapter 64, there's a passage that reads, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." The dove we recognize from the account of Noah in Genesis, sent out on the flood to search for land. In Psalm 2, we read this, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," the Lord speaking to the king. And then there is Isaac as Abraham's beloved son. In Isaiah 42, "You are my servant with whom I am well pleased." So those two short verses in Mark's gospel are packed with references in the Hebrew scriptures that those who are familiar with them might have recognized, might have picked up. Mark, like the other gospel writers, acknowledges that this Jesus is a fulfillment of passages in the Old Testament. So a common baptism becomes most definitely uncommon. And we could really use something uncommon at this time of year, because all of the excitement and all of the joy of Christmas is now behind us. And for 2 or 3 months now, all we have to look forward to is cold and darkness. We really need something uncommon right now, and Mark gives that to us. Do you notice that in Mark's account, the voice from heaven doesn't speak to the crowds at the river's edge? The voice speaks to this one who is baptized. The voice says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." We're not even sure if anyone else heard the voice in Mark's account. A moment of intense intimacy between father and son. The next thing that happens after today's reading is that Jesus is driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit in order to be tempted. And Mark's account of the temptation is really brief. If you're not careful, you'll read right by it and you won't even know that it happened. During those long 40 days, Jesus has this to remember, that his Father calls him Son, the Beloved, with whom he is well pleased. Jesus was baptized by John at the Jordan. You were baptized someplace and somewhere. Most of you probably don't remember your baptism because you were infants when that happened, but some of you might be able to remember that day. The words spoken to Jesus that day were meant for him, but when we are baptized, the promises are renewed in and to each one of us. You are my precious son. You are my precious daughter. I love you, and with you I am well pleased. It's very easy for us to forget that message. We acknowledge, and rightly so, that we are sinners needing the grace of God. The good news is that that grace is ours, freely given. When we receive that grace, that forgiveness, we are again reassured that we are also children of God, that we are loved, and that we are pleasing to God, in spite of our brokenness and in spite of our sinfulness. Whenever Martin Luther found himself ready to give up, when he was discouraged, when worry about his own life or the church threatened to overcome him, tradition says that he would touch his forehead and say to himself, "Remember, Martin, you are baptized. Remember, Martin, you are baptized." Baptism has multiple rich and complex meanings, but one of those meanings is that we are adopted and loved by and pleasing to God. Imperfect as we are, sinners that we are still dearly loved children of God, and we should not forget that. Mark will remind us again and again throughout his gospel that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark does not waste words. His message is always brief and concise and to the point. This Jesus of Nazareth has come into the world, and the world will never be the same again. The kingdom of God has come near, is what he writes. And that's good for us to remember in this difficult, dark, long period following Christmas until it begins to warm up again. You and I have been baptized into new life. We have been cleansed of sin, even though we are not sinless. That's one of those amazing and difficult themes in the Bible and in our understanding of what Christ has done for us. We have been washed of sin, and still we sin. But God loves us anyway. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, Paul writes. Like Martin, when the world presses in on you, when it seems like the burdens of daily living are going to overcome you, you can do what Martin Luther did. Touch yourself on the forehead and say, "Remember, Nancy, you have been baptized. Remember, Vernon, you have been baptized. Remember, Mary, you have been baptized." Jesus was baptized with us and for us, acknowledged, affirmed, and praised by his Father after he came up from the river. The heavens were torn apart and the Spirit descended on him. Uncommon events, those were. But then this was a most uncommon baptism for a man who was not at all common. A stunning and unforgettable reminder of who this Jesus is, this Son of God that Mark is not going to allow us to forget, because he's going to remind us throughout the gospel. This is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Beloved, the one with whom God is well pleased. Amen.